Welcome to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Kendrew, with your Weekend Review Edition. It's just me for the week, again, but I will share 3 to 4 stories I found interesting for the week. Hopefully, you do too. We'll start with pop culture, as Nicki Minaj found herself in Twitter jail this week. Then go to the sports world, where the U.S. Soccer Federation agreed to offer women the same contracts as men. And lastly, do we have a traitor in our midst with him passing along information to China? That said, I want to remind everyone you can read featured newsletters just by typing in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. You can also follow me on Instagram by typing in Kenjin_Express. Kenjin_Express. And then you can follow me on Facebook by typing Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. And you can also follow me on a Parler. I have a Parler account, just by typing in Kenjin Express. Kenjin Express. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space. We'll be back after this short break.
People like Nicki Minaj, I have to say this. You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that. That people listen to you, and they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh my God, as a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Kendrew, the usual. Before going any further, I'd like to ask my audience, how was your week? Mine in particular was pretty decent, I would say. I ended up getting hired, or take it back, I found out I got hired on the spot last Friday. However, they didn't tell me on that day, and ended up telling me later this week through a phone call saying, hey, so, just so you know, you're going to start your orientation on Monday. And in that conversation, I asked them, is this your way of telling me I got hired? And they just laughed at me, saying, the guy didn't tell you? Like, you're hired on that day. You just had to go through the process of, like, the criminal background check, etc., etc. And I was like, no, but thank you. And that was big news to me because, obviously, I needed a job to secure and show proof that I have a job coming up so I can start buying a house and getting a loan from banks. So that was a big deal. And so I'll be actually doing some house tours later today, and I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to it. I miss my independence. I want to get back on my own with my own dog and just kind of have my own space again, just be me. And when I move into that new place, I'm hoping to have a second bedroom so I can use that not only as a guest bedroom, but also as my little podcast studio so I can start doing the visual stuff soon. So be on the lookout for that. With that said, let's get going with Hollywood, shall we? For those who don't know, this week a pop star has garnered a lot of attention. But not for the reasons you may think. Pop star Nicki Minaj found herself in Twitter jail. She is famous, but known to be provocative as well, given one of her latest albums has her butt cheeks showing, which I only know that because I follow a Republican named Kim Klasick, I hope I pronounced it right, and she posted a picture of the album calling out the hypocrisy of conservatives' viewpoints of speech, free speech. However, I don't want to focus on that. I'm just going to focus on how Nicki ended up in Twitter jail. It started off with one tweet. One tweet. And in this tweet, she wrote, my cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied. Gee, Nicki, it sounds like what I just said earlier this week as far as don't get the vaccine just because the government told you so, right? That seems to be a common sentiment in a lot of people's minds. And later on, Twitter said that was enough for you to shut up. Shut up, Nikki. She got censored. She ended up in Twitter jail. She ended up in Twitter jail. Sorry for my poor English. Several media members have called her out as well, which is one of the clips you just heard before the segment began after the break. She later found herself in hot water for agreeing with Tucker Carlson as well by retweeting, you know, spot on. And then someone retweeted her tweet of agreeing with Tucker Carlson. You know, that's a white supremacist, right? In which she responds, right, because I can't agree with anyone from the other side. Why is this not working? Hold up, guys. My internet. There we go. Right, I can't speak to, agree with, or even look someone from a particular political party. People aren't human anymore. If you're black and a Democrat tells you to shove marbles up your ass, you simply have to. If another party tells you to look out for that bus, stand there and get hit. That, again, was a response after someone retweeted her that he was a white supremacist, basically. Like, what are you thinking? And since then, she's been calling out the hypocrisy of the left, or the Marxist left. One of the things she posted on social media is, y'all gotta stop pretending to love people with backbones. If Malcolm X were here, he'd be asking questions, and most of y'all that holler, Black Lives Matter, protect black women, will be telling him to shut up and fall in line. Y'all say these people's names, but embody the spirit of a coward. Ooh. And like I said, she's been pretty much calling everyone out, including that anchor from NBC or CNBC, I forget off the top of my head, for calling her out and saying, you don't tell me how to think, more or less. Since then, she's been offered to have a meeting with the White House. She posted on social media. However, she still found herself in hot water with our own government, alleging they had a problem with her transparency. Because the meeting was supposed to be secretive. All this happened within the last few days. My initial reaction is just, wow. First of all, I thought I'd never come to see a day where not only I agree with her, but also see her agree with Tucker Carlson. What a year this has been, 2021. We've come to a full circle. This is speculative, but there's got to be something sinister going on here. I say that because why would the White House be upset with her transparency? After all, didn't the Biden administration say this was going to be the most transparent government ever and accused Trump of the polar opposite? She doesn't seem to be the type to go with the crowd. And yes, I know that's putting it nicely, but seriously, do they think they'll just be able to control her? It would seem to me this is how our current administration looks at us. Anybody with a conservative viewpoint, even if you fall mostly on the liberal side. Because right now, it's clear the elite class is more interested in protecting the narrative. Which, if they're protecting a narrative, that means they probably have some sort of agenda they're trying to push through. We just don't know it yet. We don't have direct evidence right now for that. And I'm going to go on this train of thought and just follow me with this. Follow me on this train of thought for a moment. Remember, some schools in our country, our own country, have considered it racist to use critical thinking skills? I'm tying that because people like to point out Tucker Carlson is a racist or white supremacist. Which, from my perspective, it's only because he's giving nuance to the headlines across the nation, the mainstream headlines. CNN, CNBC, Facebook, Twitter, Business Insider, whatever. New York Times. Now, Nikki is being associated with a sympathizer of such. It's easier to discourage someone not to think when you can convince them it's racist. A part of using critical thinking is asking questions. That's something she did. And now the elite class is telling her to shut up. Falling line. What's more concerning is the White House is more interested in controlling her speech. Our own government. You know, that's a form of Marxism. That's Marxist thinking. Karl Marx believed in centralized speech, or, in blunt terms, government controlling speech. Listen, I don't condone her showing her ass cheeks on stage, covers, or wherever she chooses to do so in a public setting. Yet, it's her right to do so. It's protecting the First Amendment, free speech. It's nobody's right to demand her to shut up. And I will vehemently support her right to do so, even if I don't agree with it. I don't even have to respect it either. I just have to respect the fact she has that right. In this case, though, lately I agree with her 100%. If Malcolm X or MLK, I'll even throw in there, were to challenge their thoughts by asking questions or bringing in other facts, they demand those two to shut up, fall back in line. Especially Martin Luther King, given how he was a Christian Baptist preacher. And we all know, in a Marxist society, they're very hostile towards Christianity. Because in a Marxist society, unity in their worldview is conformity. I wrote an article back in February titled Historical Distortion. I saw the correlations, what was going on in Germany and Hitler's rise to power and what's going on today. By the end of the article, I said if things continue the way they are, we may lose the freedoms we have now. And I also said and advised that if anyone demands you to stick with the narrative or lashes out for going against it, that's the time to be bold, because it's a red flag. Dare to question. Think out loud. I said it then, and I'll say it now. I hope I am wrong. There could be a day where my work will be worthy of being taken down, possibly facing legal consequences. It's not something I wish to happen to anyone, but it's a real possibility, based on the current trajectory. But I'll continue to speak boldly. I will continue to face the evil. Because there's another saying. There's another saying I want to bring up, because I think it's very important. For those who don't know who Dennis Prager is, he runs this conservative YouTube channel called PragerU. And in this quote, I think speaks very timely to what we're seeing right now. He once said that evil does not come in darkness, but instead that evil is so bright that people cannot stare in the eyes. It is so blinding that people choose to look at other things. In other words, evil is hidden in plain sight, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on with people's viewpoints and this whole trying to control the speech, control the narrative, strip away people's rights? Evil is happening right before our eyes. Tyranny only wins when people don't speak out. We must face the blinding light. I will continue to use my platform to do so. no matter how small it may be. To Nicki Minaj, if you by one billionth of a chance hear this, please know you can come onto this show to speak your mind freely whenever. I don't and will never agree with you 100%, but the beauty of our country and our constitution is that it is not a requirement, or at least it's how it's supposed to be. In this case, we can unite on common ground with the right to think independently. Think for yourself. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. Before jumping into the story of soccer, I do want to make an honorable mention for the testimonies the Women's U.S. Gymnastics members shared this week before Congress. The FBI has failed those girls and allowed pedophilia to go on longer than it should have. I will tell my audience to pray for their families and their healing. I didn't choose this as one of my main stories to go over because it's one of those stories you have to see for yourself. The testimonies you can find on YouTube for yourself, and I think they're the ones you should talk about. It's their stories, it's their testimony, and I did not feel it was appropriate for me to react to such. From my perspective, there is a rape culture. It's not predominant, but it does exist in the smaller faction of the U.S. population that gets embellished, which I would point the finger to Hollywood. They talk about internet culture, but yet what you see on the entertainment, they pretty much promote it. But I digress. Both men and women need to talk about how we can prevent this or just happen less, if you will, right? Because I don't think we'll ever fully. There'll always be evil people in the world. That's something we have to acknowledge. But we could do our best to hold people accountable better so we can prevent and we can have less of these scenarios happening. Perhaps changing our views of sex to something more conservative, such as getting rid of the concept of casual sex. But again, I digress. Anyways, that's enough of that. Let's talk about soccer, or football, as the rest of the world calls it. This story in particular caught my interest. I was going through Instagram and I follow CNBC, and CNBC wrote a story, and apparently this happened this week, as of Wednesday, where the U.S. Soccer Federation announces men's and women's national teams will be offered the same contract. And I'm just going to go ahead and read some parts of the article here. It says here on Tuesday, the U.S. Soccer Federation announced that it will offer respective players' unions for the men's and women's national teams the same contract proposal. The news comes after generations of women's national team players have spoken out about the unequal treatment of the U.S. Soccer Federation and, more recently, a string of highly publicized legal proceedings. The U.S. Soccer firmly believes that the best path forward for all involved and for the future of the sport in the United States is a single-pay structure for both senior and national teams. Or for both senior national teams, excuse me. As of Wednesday morning, the men's and women's soccer associations have not yet publicly commented on the offered contracts. CNBC Make It reached out for comment but did not immediately receive a response. If the organizations choose to continue to negotiate separately, as other international soccer programs do, the U.S. Soccer Federation shared that they will invite the Women's Players Association to sit on the contract negotiations with the Men's Association in the interest of full transparency. The Federation also claims it is dedicated to finding a way to equalize FIFA World Cup prize money between the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team and the Women's National Team during the 2018 FIFA Men's World Cup in Russia, where 32 teams competed for $400 million in prize, where the U.S. men's team failed to qualify for the tournament, but the champions France took home $38 million during the 2019 FIFA's World Cup In France, 2014 is competed for $30 million, and the U.S. took home $4 million as the champions. In 2016, five U.S. women's players filed a discrimination complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And in 2019, 28 members of the U.S. National Women's National Team filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation for gender discrimination and unequal pay. In that lawsuit, the players claimed that if the men's and women's teams won each of the 20 non-tournament games that they are contractually required to play, women's teams would earn a maximum of $99,000, $4,950 per game, while the men's players would earn $263,320, or $13,166 per game. Where Neil Bathy, Chief Communications Officer for the U.S. Soccer Federation, contests this claim, saying it leaves out the United States women's national team players' guaranteed salary and is based on out-of-date numbers, not from the current CBA, which has been effective since April 2017, since the current CBA was signed, or collective bargaining agreement, for those who don't know. The acronym was signed for 4 years ago. U.S. pays out women's national team players $100,000 salary to play for the national team, up to $99,000 to play for National Women's Soccer League, and game bonuses for each match. All right. Well, I'm not going to read the whole story, but that's, you get the bulk of it with that. All right. So let's get into it. This gets into the equal pay debate the liberal circle keeps bringing up. Within the last several years, the debate has heated up into the sports world too, and that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay in the sports world because that's what I know. This story, I beg the question, is this decision the right one? Will this actually help out long term? Excuse me. Should women get paid the same as men for the same profession just for the sake of being a woman? Or should it be based on merit? And on the merit, how far are we going to go on the merit? And here's what I mean. If we're just going to focus on the quality, not the quality, but just on the performance aspect, right? And if so, why should the men have the same pay as them? Because if we're to look at merit on that premise of merit alone, performance, women should be getting paid more than men. It shouldn't be a debate. Which makes my head spin a little, since they want to be equally paid to men. Which, if I were them, I'd be going off that, right? I'd be going off of strictly performance, meritocracy, stating that we've outperformed the men, therefore deserving to be paid more than men. However, it gets more complicated when we dig a little bit deeper. Because the next question is, how much revenue does each bring in? Don't hold me to this completely, but I'm almost 100% positive data show that men bring in far more money than women. There's more interest in the consumer to watch men's sports alone. And that's despite our men's mediocrity in soccer. Which then brings the question of, are they taking money out from the men's team? If so, is that fair to them? I understand they're underperforming for a country that has 320 million people plus, and that's a slight dig, but I'll leave that alone. But if people rather watch men's sport than women's soccer, why should their revenue be squeezed out? If anything, if I were in charge of the situation, from my perspective, I would put more money into the league that has the more demand. In other words, if men's soccer is more popular for people to watch, that I'm going to pour more money and resources to provide the consumer the best product out there. Taking money away from that would diminish the product of the demand. That's the problem with women seeking, air quote, equal pay. Whether the teams are good or not, the demand is not the same as men. That's not sexist to say that. Many women who watch sports could attest that men's sports is far more entertaining to watch. I could be dead wrong, and maybe the majority of women prefer investing time in women's sports. But even then, there is more men that are interested in sports as a whole than women. The numbers are just not there to balance out. Because if it was, then the revenue wouldn't be so lopsided between men and women monetarily. And personally, I do enjoy watching the men's soccer more. I have nothing against women's sports. I support it. From my perspective, however, the quality of the competition is just better. I speak as a consumer, and as such, it is my right to choose to invest where I choose to put my time into, where I choose to invest my time. I recognize there's a bias, and it could change one day if I have a daughter, or a wife, a smoking hot wife that happens to play professional sports. Which, yes, she's going to be smoking hot because she has to be in tip-top shape if she's going to be playing professional sports. But until that bridge is crossed, I'm going to have that bias, probably. It hasn't been crossed. I'm not entirely sure how this will play out, pun intended. I hope to be proven wrong. I'm not hoping to be proven right. I'm not really that passionate about it, believe it or not, when it comes to the concept of women should getting equal pay or not. I'm just trying to think logically, and that's my logical me connecting the dots is coming up with right now. But I hope to be proven wrong. Maybe by investing more into the women's side, taking money from the men's, and pour more money into the women, will increase the quality of their entertainment. Thus, there will be a day where they'll have enough money to take. They won't have to take money from the men's league anymore, and just use their own, and perhaps being paid better than men. Perhaps, I hate to say this, it's a necessary evil. Maybe this is only a temporary fix. And eventually, more women will be interested in sports more. And as a result, there will be more revenue to kind of balance each other out for both men and women. And women can just kind of do their own thing. And they can kind of go back to doing separate contracts for collective bargaining agreements afterwards. I don't think it'll work, but let's let it play out. Let it play out. With that said, folks, we'll be back after the short break to close things out. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. I'm going to go ahead and finish out this last story because I come from this world, and in about a week, I will tell you more about what I used to do in this world because I will be free, finally. With that said, that's to kind of give you an idea. But anyways, now, if you don't know who this man is, we have some national security concerns right now. If you don't know who this man, General Miley is someone who you probably saw on the news about a few months ago, even a couple months ago, stating that he wants to understand, and I say this, you know, in air quote, white rage, as his defense for why he's trying to instill critical race theory in the United States military. He's the chairman of Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Miley. So that's who he is, and the conservative circle rebuked that thought, that sentiment. I did as well at the time. and even have called him certain things, but I'm not going to say that right now. Anyways, so this man, there's a man out there who is alleging that he pretty much broke civilian authority, that he secretly called his counterpart in China to offer assurances that the US would give a warning in case of a nuclear assault, and he even instructed the his people that to not inform Trump about it. And as a result, people are calling for his resignation, including him. Calling the Chinese general, and there's some actual quotations, apparently, and I'll just gonna read some of them that he said to the general of China, General Li. In quote, "General Li, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We're not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you." He also added, "If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise." And apparently the second call occurred on January 8, 2021, 2 days after the Capitol riot, in which a mob of Trump supporters breached the Capitol, forced congressmen to flee during the certification of the election results. He did not report that call to Trump, and he told the general of China, "We are 100% steady. Everything's fine, but democracy can be sloppy sometimes." So there's really not a whole lot to this story. I just have more to say than anything. What he did was treacherous. You're not supposed to do that, period. With that said, is anything going to happen to him? Probably not. He's just going to get a slap on the wrist. This, if was any peasant, if you will, especially for my status, right? If I were to call China and let them know ahead of time through my rank that, hey, we're going to attack you in this amount of days, or we're going to let you know when we're going to attack you, even though were swore to keep that confidential, I would be court-martialed and thrown in jail for life. That's basically it. It's treacherous. It's viewed as treacherous. It's in the UCMJ. And it makes me wonder, does this man think he's above the UCMJ? In case you don't know what the UCMJ stands for, it's Uniform Code of Military Justice. That's what it stands for. It blows my mind that this is our top Joint Chief of Staff, or Chairman of Joint Chief of Staff. I'm surprised he's even working still. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know, man. Where is his loyalty with? And it makes me wonder, is he getting paid off by China? Because why would he do that? Your loyalty is to the United States first and the Constitution. When you make that oath, you swore to protect and defend enemies both abroad and domestic. China is not our friend. If anything, they're more like a frenemy. At the very best. But for the most part, they're not our friend. For the most part. They take advantage of us and they commit treacherous things, heinous crimes, such as the Holocaust that's going on right now and how they pretty much funnel sex trafficking through North Korea. And they send all their people that they don't like to concentration camps, including concentration camps in North Korea. North Korea is kind of like their puppet that they use. Like, why would you even do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. It blows my mind. And there's some people out there on the liberal circle that are defending this act and said they were within his duties. Which I push back. Do you know the UCMJ? Do you understand what it actually states? You're not supposed to do that. No, it was not within his duties. This is the problem where people get so high up that they lose sight of why they were there to begin with. Human nature does that to people. There's a certain amount of power someone gets, and they forget that they're still human and they're not above the law. And unfortunately, this administration is not interested in holding him accountable. Joe Biden said he has great confidence in him, which I'm sure he does because he pretty much is, well, he's behaving like a Marxist. I don't have any direct evidence to say that he does support Marxist beliefs, but circumstantial evidence tells me he's a Marxist, all right? He's behaving like one. And the fact that he's showing more loyalty to a Marxist regime than the United States president, a man who loved our country, President Trump, tells you that his heart is not in the right place, is not with the American people, and is putting our national security at risk. It is. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. I wish I was wrong. I wish this wasn't the case, but it's the situation. And, this story kind of ties into the first story in a sense of what's going on out there. There's something sinister going on, guys. I really think so. There's something off about all of this. Like, I genuinely believe something is happening where they're trying to push for something that goes against the majority's desire. They're in their own world and they think they just want power more than anything. They have their own agenda they're trying to push, and they're not interested in being public servants anymore. Maybe at one point they had good intentions, but human nature took over. God may mercy be given upon us. This man needs to resign, at the very least. But I want him to be court-martialed. It's not going to happen, realistically, because, like I said, once you get to that level, especially if your boss is not willing to hold you accountable, then, well, nothing's going to happen to him. And he's going to stay up there. And unfortunately, people in the military just can't go on strike because it goes against the UCMJ and demand his resignation, at least. But I wish there was something where the little guy in the military could do something and file like a lawsuit against a man like that. Citing that if that were the little guy doing it, he would be court-martialed, and therefore he should too, because he's not above the UCMJ. Just throwing that out there for thought. Sad day in our country, folks. Sad day in our country. But I'll give you this advice that I was giving the advice a long time ago for shitty people like him, terrible leadership like his, the best you can do is outlast him. That's all you gotta do, outlast them. When you do that, Eventually, he's going to be replaced by someone else. He's going to eventually step down. And when they do, then you have new leadership. Hopefully it's better, but you can only hope, right? He won't be in power forever. He's still human, and he's going to die one day. He's going to have to step down because he's getting too old, kind of deal. So, no matter how much white rage he has, he's not above the UCMJ. Not above it. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew, per usual. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And I remind everyone, please review, no matter what platform you listen to this podcast from. Hopefully it's a 5-star, but if it's anything less, by all means, let me know so I can better serve you. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a blessed Friday and until Sunday. And I will have an episode for Sunday this time. I promise you, it's going to be a good one. So tune in on Sunday. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, until then, have a great rest of your day.